You are listening to Montco Radio, live from Montgomery County Community College in Bluebell, PA. Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hi, this is DJ Rusty and Special K, normally from Montco Radio's all-vinyl radio show, Spin My Head. But we're coming to you live on this special weekend here with some very special guests. We have a great honor of meeting and talking with one of the most amazing independent psychedelic bands of our generation, the Gripweeds.
Michael Kelly, Kristen Pinnell, Kurt Ryle, and Rick Ryle, also known as the Gripweeds. Welcome to the show. It's an honor to meet you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks. It's an honor to meet you, too.
We hear you have an amazing new double album, Strange Change Machine, being released soon with some very special features for your loyal and new fans. So tell us all about it.
Yeah, this is our first new release in 5 years. So we had a lot of material that we wanted to get out to the fans. And we're going to have it available for download for free. And
some of it.
Some of it, actually. And it's really cool. It's got like a whole song suite on it, and we've got a pretty cool cover tune on there by Todd Rundgren, and
hello,
just a whole bunch of great
me.
New material.
This is Kurt speaking, drums and vocals. We had gotten together a lot of songs because we hadn't put out an album of brand new material. In as Kristen said, in 5 years, we had done a couple of other things. We did a reissue of our first album. And we did a best of collection for Little Steven from the Underground Garage. So it wasn't like we were doing nothing. Actually, we were writing songs and kind of recording. So, and when that happens, you get a lot of material together.
We also have our own studio in Highland Park, New Jersey. It's called the House of Vibes. So we have unlimited studio time, so we can just go crazy and try out a lot of stuff, and that's what we did.
Unlimited studio time, but not unlimited time.
That sounds great. Okay. What was the inspiration for the album's title?
Well, the title of the album originally came to me through a 1960s vintage kids' toy. It's called the Strange Change Machine.
A really actually dangerous toy.
Yeah, I burned my hand on it.
It's a hot plate, essentially a hot plate that you put these little plastic molds on, and you put a little like clear dome over it, and the little molds change into creatures, and then you can compress them back. And anyway, the whole idea to me, it just seemed very kind of cool, and the title itself struck me as mind-blowing. And so that's why it just seemed very
kind of apropos for the computer age and
how
people are very involved in their computers, and especially musicians use a combination of all different things to record now, but a lot of it is based on the computer, and we all have our heads attached to these machines, it seems, all the time, every day now. So,
and you know, we are actually all strange change machines. Everything we do is manipulating and changing reality.
Album titles really need to be catchy. Like Neil Young had a title, Russ Never Sleeps. The only reason that was the title for the record is he just liked the way that sounded and stuck in his mind. Similarly, Strange Change Machine is a catchy title. It's got a number of interesting words in it. The word strange is evocative, and it could mean a number of things for a number of people. Change is a very strong buzzword these days, and change is something we all need. And machine is a rather aggressive, in-your-face kind of powerful word, which I think ties the whole thing together. So it's not that it means anything in particular, but it's an evocative, catchy-sounding, interesting-sounding title, and I think that's why we decided to go with it.
So it's been a few years since your last album. Can listeners expect any changes or new styles being experimented with on the album?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, when you have this much space to work with, a double album, you can try a lot of different material, and we had a lot of material backlogged that, you know, once you put a song on a record, you can kind of, it's just a way to document it, and you can move on, and it's just, you know, it's a real statement in time. So we had some older material that had never been officially released, and we wanted to get it out because it was real strong. So that's what we decided to do.
Yeah, the thing to me about a double album also is when someone puts on a CD or even, you know, an iPod or something, they're listening to someone's work, really the goal is to keep them engaged and keep them listening and keep things changing. And, you know, if you put the same song on for 24 songs or a same type of sound, that could get pretty monotonous and a little boring. And when you've got 24 songs to try to hold the listener's attention or imagination, it's a good idea to keep them, you know, guessing and, wow, I wonder what kind of song is going to come next. And that also fit into the Strange Change Machine title and idea of change and things, you know, not all being the same. Even though the group we'd sort of draw from, you know, a certain pool of influences. We have our sound. We have a style. We like certain things.
Now, we've often been called a sort of retro-y band. To a certain extent, that's true, only in as much as we like a lot of classic rock sounds. I love The Who, The Beatles, The Birds, Led Zeppelin, and, you know, countless other bands from the 60s and the 70s. And I can't help but it be influenced by them. But we're not trying to necessarily recreate that. In our studio, we have modern gear as well as old gear, and we're trying to create our own modern version of what we like.
Yeah, there also is multiple writers and we play multiple instruments. We do a lot of harmonies, so we have a lot of different sounds.
Vocal harmonies.
Vocal harmonies, yeah. No, toe harmonies.
Toe? Guitar harmonies, that too.
Now, being that we are big fans of vinyl, having a vinyl radio show, we're curious, what gave you the idea to also release your albums on vinyl as well as CD and digital downloads?
Well, we're also big fans of vinyl. We grew up with it, and it means a lot to hold that big thing in your hands, and you really have a connection with the record, I feel. It's funny, because when I download music, a song I like, I don't ever feel the connection that I did as a kid when I had a record in front of me and I could look at the artwork and I could look at the pictures of the band and I could really get the concept. I could really understand the concept of what the band was trying to do as a full, you know, all their songs together. So we just wanted to present that, and we're working with our record label. They're called Rainbow Quartz, and they wanted to put out the vinyl as well. And
you know, vinyl's making a comeback too. There's a hip factor to it with kids now that are, you know, into that format, because it is very cool. It changes the listening experience because when you put a record on, there's natural breaks between sides. You have to get up, physically get up. Remember that? And flip the record over. And when that happens, you have natural breaks in the listening experience, whereas on an iPod, you're just constantly sort of going one song to the other song.
Yes, we actually sequence the records for a four-side listen.
And that's the other thing, too. Sequencing becomes more important, the way the tracks follow one another. Because with a vinyl, again, you're locked into it. You're listening. It's playing. It's going around. That needle's on the vinyl. And You can't shuffle play. You can't shuffle play unless you're going to sit there next to the record player.
You actually have to listen to the record as the artist intended it.
There are people out there who are really into vinyl, and it's kind of fun to have that medium still in existence and maybe even making a comeback. So, and also, the album covers are bigger, and it's fun to see the artwork that size.
You know, that's why we're excited to offer this album on vinyl.
That's awesome. So tell us about what inspired you to re-release your original album, House of Vibes, with so many extras after so many years.
Well, the reason for that was...
We had put our record out.
The time at which we made it, we were just beginning to get our abilities as producers and engineers, and we had very primitive recording gear, especially compared to what we have now. So the initial pressing of the the album finally ran out, and we were faced with the choice to either we wanted to keep it in stock, so did we want to repress the original pressing, or did we want to take the opportunity to spruce it up, give it a new lease on life, if you will, and dramatically improve the sound.
Make it sound how it was supposed to sound, and technology had changed so much since the time we released it 10 years ago that we used all kinds of modern technology to upgrade the sound, and we had a lot of artwork and a lot of pictures, and we wanted people to know the story of the band and the studio, House of Vibes, which is what the album was named after. So that's why we decided to do a reissue and a re-release, and we had an incredible response for it too. Really, we got a lot of press and people really loved it. So it's great that that kind of work could last all those years for us.
Wow, did you expect the kind of incredible response you received from the media and the fans afterwards?
No, we really didn't. We had no idea what people were going to think about us re-releasing an album that was that old. You know, we thought people probably wouldn't pay attention, but the songs turned out to... We had one of our most successful single releases from that, a song called Salad Days, that got a lot of airplay. Little Steven Van Zandt on his satellite radio show, The Underground Garage, picked up on it and he played it. We got a lot of fans through re-releasing that record. It was a real success for us.
What we felt about House of Vibes Revisited is that it was the first album we made when Kristen joined the band, and it was a turning point for us musically. And when we found that we had very few copies left for sale, we had a decision to make whether we should just repress the original mix or try to improve it and bring it, you know, into the 21st century. And we listened to the songs and realized that we were very happy with the quality of what we had done, you know, all those years ago. And so we felt it was strong enough to go back and rework it a little bit. And we kind of reclaimed it for this, we reclaimed our music, and we were able to give it a second wind, a second life, which is always good.
Well, I've learned never to expect anything. So to get a response like we did for the House of Vibes album was extremely welcome. It's, as an artist, the primary reason that you do music, I think, is first and foremost to express yourself. But beyond that, to have impact on people, to have the music make them feel something or affect them in some way, and then they send that energy back. It's definitely one of the reasons why we continue to make records and continue to perform.
So whose idea was it to have the reissued CD have so many special interactive computer features?
That would have been mine, Mike Kelly, the bass player. Originally, we did it on Giant on the Beach. There was a secret site for Giant on the Beach where we had extra tracks, acoustic tracks, the lyrics, different iterations of songs. And then we thought, well, with the House of Vibes, let's have a secret attic space. So we did it again for this album when we reissued House of Vibes.
All that stuff gave the album a historical place in our history. It sort of put it in a time period. And there were things like some of the demos that we had done had the presentation of those demos was kind of unique, and the way the band actually went and recorded the song after listening to the demo was even, you know, was different again. So the demo had a power to it, and we felt that some of the demos were good enough that they could be used that way. And in fact, one of them, Edge of Forever, we completely didn't expect that song would be picked up by Little Steven and put on our Best Of collection. I mean, we just thought this is a demo. In fact, the demo is the only recording of the song. It didn't even make the record. So you never know how these things work out.
Can we expect the same cool features on your new release?
Well, interactively, we're still working out what we're going to do. It was a major accomplishment.
What, isn't 24 songs enough?
I know, it's a major accomplishment to do 24 songs. That almost killed us. And now we're fighting our way through the artwork. And interactively,
there'll be something.
We'll be something. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. We're working it out right now. We're coming down to the wire for the release. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of cool things. You know.
I mean, this is all new songs. So the focus on this album is the new material. And that's the, you know, that's what we want everybody to hear. So actually, there is a live album that we're putting together that's going to be sold in connection with the album as kind of a deluxe package.
Yeah, if you're buying the record, you'll have different ways that you can buy it. That's the way it is these days. It's like you could buy it as a larger package where you can purchase this additional CD called Live at the House of Vibes, which is basically us doing a show for some friends and people at our studio, and we recorded it live, and we're going to make it available for our fans. And we'll also have some extra downloads available for people, extra songs, as part of the deluxe package.
You know, and videos.
We did some videos. You know, just some fun stuff that, you know, different things that'll be available depending on what you want to see or what you want to hear from us.
So I was just curious, how did you guys get involved with Little Steven? And did you expect that you were going to make his top 50 songs of the decade? Because there are some incredible big-name artists on that list, like Pearl Jam, Aerosmith, and U2. Another one of my favorite little independent bands, besides yourselves, Butch Walker and the Let's Go Out Tonights.
Well, that was a total unexpected honor from Little Steven to include us in that list. You know, in fact, the whole experience of having a chance to work with Little Steven was an honor because he's, you know, who he is and what he represents in the music scene. It was an honor.
I believe he wandered into a club that we were playing in New York City a few years back, and he caught us playing a song called Every Minute. And he fell in love with the song, and he made it the coolest song of the week. And that's how we got to know him. And over the years, he's come to see a lot of our shows, and he supported us. And
he put out a best of collection, Infinite Soul, the best of the Gripweeds, was a joint venture between Little Steven's Wicked Cool Records and our current label, Rainbow Quartz Records. Rainbow Quartz had done our last three albums. Everything but House of Vibes Revisited, and so there was you know, some connection with Wicked Cool, Little Steven's label, and Rainbow Quartz, and that's how the Best Of came about. So you know, as I said, it's a real honor to work with Steven and to be considered in his top 50 songs of the decade. And
that's actually a really good CD to check out if you've never heard the Gripweeds, the Best of the Gripweeds put out by Wicked Cool, Little Steven's label, because it has a combination of a lot of our different stuff and a lot of different records. It's a good place to start if you've never heard of it.
Steven was also hip to the meaning of our name. The origin of the Gripweeds is an obscure movie called How I Won the War, starring, among other people, John Lennon, whose character's name in that film is Musketeer Gripweed. Steven knew about that film and played snippets of it in his introduction to the band on his show. Since then, we've had several of our tracks were named Coolest Song of the Week, and of course, Salad Days, which is one of the top 50 songs of the decade. And on the Underground Garage Sirius radio program, you can often hear a Gripweed song when you tune in.
So on your website, you are referred to as a retro band. Are you satisfied with that title, or would you rather be recognized for your own style?
I don't know if satisfied would be the right thing to say. I would say people are always looking for labels and looking for, you know, styles to hang a band on. And I do think, though, that we do have a lot of retro influences, retro meaning bands from the 60s and 70s that we really like. But that also, to me, to my mind, means a certain amount of quality. Like vintage and retro, to me, represents quality. So if in people's minds we have that sort of a tag, it really doesn't bother me. But The other thing about that is we are writing songs in the 21st century, and the songs that we write are based on or are influenced by the events that happen around us, our feelings that are in the now. And so, you know, there's as much current in our music as retro.
Yeah, we definitely have some of the older influences, as Kurt said, but we're pretty, I think we have our own sound. And if people detect a little bit of that retro in it, that's pretty cool because we're all big fans of that style. But I've also heard people say that we're bringing the retro kind of music to the new millennium and to the new generation. And a lot of people that come see us, they're really happy. They're really happy that they found a band that does our kind of music because they say they haven't seen it in a long time.
That's very cool. Are you guys all still involved with the other bands as well?
What other bands?
No, the Gripweeds is their main act.
Gripweeds is what we're involved with right now and focused on.
So what's it like having your music appearing in so much television and film lately?
It's a good thing for a band these days because it's a great way to make good money. And that's important in these days. And also, it gets you really good exposure. You can do a lot of live shows. You can tour. But you do one spot on television or you have your music played on a national broadcast. And it's incredible exposure. And it's real exciting. And it's just one of those outlets to get your music out. And it works really well. We're really happy with that. And we're always, you know, trying to get our music out that way.
Yeah, it's about reaching, you know, more people than you maybe otherwise would not, you know, and it's a way to get your music heard by the casual viewer who's just watching a TV show, and maybe might get hooked into one of your songs, you know, and there you have a new fan. So there's always that possibility, and we would never turn down exposure. To our music to new people, unless of course we don't like the way it's being presented. That's
yeah, I think
another
we did
thing.
Turn down an X-rated movie.
Yeah,
once.
We turned down a porno film. That's true.
Turned down a porn.
Sorry, MK.
That was a mistake.
You know, I'm just curious. As a film student myself, I am dying to know who creates the amazing music videos that you guys have that people can watch on the internet.
We've had a professional video shot by a director called Ken Ross. He did our Astral Man video, which you can view on our website. He had worked with Keith Richard and Amy Mann, and our label brought him in to do a shoot in New York City theater.
But mostly it's us. I mean, we create the videos, mostly.
Yeah, we're pretty much a do-it-yourself band, and we all have great Mac computers, and we've got our editing software, our Final Cut, and we get in there. We have someone come and shoot some footage of us, and we edit it, and we do it ourselves. We also have some other people right now that are putting together some videos for our new record, but we've also done some ourselves, which you'll be able to view.
It's part of the Gripweeds DIY ethic, the do-it-yourself. In other words, not being afraid to just get in there and create, especially if you have an idea. For instance, the Salad Days video, which was on House of Vibes Revisited, we just did that ourselves. We didn't have a cameraman. It was Kristen, hold the camera and shoot me while I'm walking down this path, singing the song, you know, stuff like that. And it was just really to just had a vision of what we wanted to see, and not letting the outside, usually financial forces, stop us to get what we want done. And so that can mean, you know, picking up an editing program, a video editing program, and figuring out how to do it so that you can get what you need.
Yeah, we use Final Cut, and I love making videos. I'm working on one right now, and it's just a lot of fun, and it's a lot of work, though. I mean, you got to have time. You got to have a lot of time.
And it opens you up. It opens you up to a whole other visual presentation of your music, and it also gets you thinking. I mean, I'm sure as film students would know, once you start viewing or seeing things in a filmic way, you know, you start seeing TV shows or movies and noticing the visuals a lot more, and being influenced by them or inspired by them. It's kind of like music.
So please tell us about the magic behind the actual House of Vibes Victorian House in New Jersey where you create your music.
Well, the magic behind the House of Vibes Victorian House is that in the photo on the House of Vibes album, that's not the real House of Vibes. That is the photogenic House of Vibes. That's a house in the neighborhood that looked good. The real House of Vibes is not so photogenic on the outside, but it's very photogenic on the inside. In fact, if you go to www.houseofvibes.com, you can take an actual studio tour of the amazing audio musical workshop that the Gripweeds produce their recordings in.
Kristen and I decided to go house shopping and look around the neighborhood for the coolest house we could find to photograph for our album cover. And we found that cool place and just took a snap of the picture and ran away and didn't tell the owner. And, you know, took the number off the house and stuff and made sure that there'd be no way to trace him. But funnily, oddly enough, he found out about it. They found out and wound up buying the album and putting it on their mantelpiece. But
they were real excited about that. The House of Vibes is, it's our
It's a concept.
Well, it's where we live. It's where the band, most of us have rooms here. It's where we live. And also, it's where we record and we rehearse. And it's kind of like a little do-it-yourself business here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to comfortably do our work.
Yeah, it's not so much the space, although you need the space to make your, you know, be able to have somewhere to work and be comfortable so that you can create. And that's really what it is. You know, the vibes are within you to create the music, and so that's what we do here. The studio is a commercial studio now, in terms of that we bring in other bands to record. In fact, another person had named the studio. Another band had come in and named it the House of Vibes. Oh, this house has really good vibes, you know. And so that's where it all came from.
That's very cool. Tell us about this multimedia home recording seminars you guys have been giving, the From Basement to Billboards, and what inspired you to start giving them for other artists?
Well, over the years, we've attended seminars ourselves and spoke at them. And we realized that there was a lot of young musicians out there. They wanted to know how to just get their music recorded. They wanted to know how to write a song. They wanted to know how to record it and to get exposure with it. They just needed some help. They needed the basics. So our bass player, Michael Kelly, Mr. Kelly, your teacher, he was instrumental in coming up with the program that we present now. It's kind of like we perform live. We give information about basic recording. We do some PowerPoint presentations. And we just talk about the process of from how a song is conceived all the way until it's put out either on a record, a CD, or on the internet. And we go through it step by step in a very basic, simple way so that you can learn to do it yourself, because we are a do-it-yourself band and we've accumulated a lot of experience.
That's basically it. It's like a roadmap for a band or a musician who's, you know, faced with this mountain of technology and choice, and not necessarily knowing how to start, or even how the process does work. And so that's what, you know, we felt was a deficiency in today's, you know, technology, is just how do you go about it, or how could you go about it? And so that's what we thought we would provide to bands and to musicians, just that sort of basic roadmap of where to start, how to continue, and how to get to where you want to go.
When we started recording our first album back in the 90s, we were among the I don't know if we're among the first to do this, but we were definitely recording ourselves at home long before it was fashionable to do so, and long before the studio gear that you can now purchase, it's now available, wasn't available then. I mean, back then you had much inferior sounding gear in which you could make records at home, unless you were so wealthy as to install a fully functional pro system in your house, which is what we have now. But then we didn't. We had what's called project studio gear. So having learned how to produce our own records and knowing that now in this new digital age, there are so many people who are making records at home or able to get really great digital workstations, like the intro one would be GarageBand, but you can get Pro Tools and Digital Performer and Cubase and a whole bunch of them. The problem is, even though you have access to this stuff, even though you can afford this stuff, you may not be able to know, you might not know how to use it, and you might have no idea how to produce a professional level recording with this gear, although you can if you know what you're doing. So our seminars were designed to attempt to at least give an intro course for people on how to start to make records at home with the current digital gear.
That's really, really cool. And for all of our Comm 100 students here at Monco who will study this question during the class, what do you think a band has to do to stay successful in this new media world?
Success, it depends on how you really how you define your success. That's the most important thing to in my mind to determine, really. What are you in it for? Are you in it for fame and fortune, or being a star, or are you in it to create the best music you can? That's something that a band really has to sort of figure out what they're doing. The Gripweed's personal, like for me, I just feel that the music is foremost. We are musicians and we're songwriters and creators, and that is the motivation for what we do, and that we feel that will ultimately bring us the other things, success and an audience and those sorts of things. And really, there's nothing better than when you get great feedback from an audience who's just heard your record or seen you play, and they're just very, very into it. And that is such a measure of success for me. Sure, I would love to be solely making my living by the Gripweeds, but the musical environment is very difficult, and you've got to find your own ways to find contentment in it, and otherwise you'll wind up quitting.
There's a lot of, as you said, how do you find success in this media world? There's just such a barrage of stuff that people's attention is just so scattered, and to just find, as a musician, it may not be easy, but you do really have to be a jack of all trades. You have to be able to get your music out there in a number of different medias. You have
to become that. Yeah,
you have to get out. You have to do it because there's just so much available. And, you've got to get on the internet, and you've got to get into all the different ways that you can get exposure. It's just something that you need to do. It's like with any business, you just got to get your stuff out there. Because people, your music's good, but people their attention is drawn in so many different ways. You just got to find a way to get through to people.
The challenge of the new musical world is nobody or most people don't yet know how to stay successful. I mean, we're all finding out, aren't we? I think so far for us, the way has been to be very open to the digital gear, very open to using the internet, very open to just your own creativity. Try to create the most compelling music that you can. Try to create the most compelling sounds that you can, and use all of the digital gear and the digital outlets and the internet availability that we now have, YouTube. You can make your own videos, which is what we're doing for our latest release. Just to stay open and be experimental and open-minded and work hard and be creative.
Now, I'm just curious, any chance that we could have you do a show at the college?
We would love to come and play. Mr. Kelly,
all right, well, I'll get on the phone with Chris Coya and see if he can negotiate our fee.
We'll be there.
Again, it has been such an honor and a pleasure chatting with you all today, and we're definitely looking forward to the new release. And we want our listeners to check out the band's website, www.gripweeds.com, to follow along with the band and get information about their albums and performance schedule.
You'll also find a link to them on our Spin My Head fan page on Facebook. Thank you for spending time with us and getting to know the Gripweeds on this special Gripweeds weekend on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Thank you.
You are listening to Monco Radio, live from Montgomery County Community College in Bluebell, PA. Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Coming down to the last time around, but it's you who keeps changing my mind. We now return to the lost tapes of Albert Einstein.
Hello, this is Albert Einstein. I would like to clear up some confusion about E equals MC squared. Now, E, which stands for education, should equal MC3, as in Montgomery County Community College. I'm very sorry about the confusion, but hey, it was just a theory, and I was having a bad hair day.
Montgomery County Community College. A quality education that's more than a theory.
Wow, that music sounds great. What is it?
That's me.
What?
It's you?
How did you record something like that?
It was for my class project last semester.
What kind of class do you have to take to record stuff like that?
I'm taking classes at Montgomery County Community College. Someday, I want to be working in a big-time recording studio.
That sounds great.
How can I find out about the classes at Montco?
Go to the college website, mc3.edu. You can find out everything you need.